concerning gifts of God in the meetings. That's what we are looking at. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity to explain and receive your word from the scriptures. Thank you because your thoughts are transmitted to our minds today. We thank you because everyone here receives accurately information from your word. Our minds are renewed and transformed forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you wonder why we pray before we teach. And some of you take for granted that you have to pray before you teach the Bible. Well, you didn't write it. Even if you did, you didn't inspire it. So, if Paul will pray that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, it also implies that every time you want to teach the word of God or listen to it, you'll be prayerful. Because it's not your school book. Sometimes we take it for granted because we're educated and we are word men. You know, word men. So you think that you have the mastery of the Bible. I don't, anyway. If I, your teacher, am saying you, I don't have the mastery of the Bible, then you definitely don't have the mastery of the Bible. You're far below the one that can have the mastery of the Bible. You can post to your cell members, or your church members, or fellowship members, but now you're in Zion, you cannot post to anybody. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So, ignorance is only cured by what? By what? Knowledge. Now, knowledge has to be both taught and practiced. So, ignorance can be cured when you are taught by precept and when you are taught by example. I will not have you ignorant. Now, you discover that this was not a church that was hearing the things of the Spirit for the first time, because 1 Corinthians 1:7, Paul did emphasize that they came behind a mere gift of God, awaiting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were enriched in all utterance and in knowledge. So, it's not just being taught, it's the fact that there's precept to what we are being taught. A lot of people have a lot of theory, you know, in their minds. But really, when you look at the precepts, the exemplary practice of the things of God, and you don't see them, you know, being able to grasp that. So you can really see that such people are still ignorant. Because ignorance will mean that you are actually not walking in the light of those things. Some things, for instance, will be very clear to you, you know, when you practice them. It will be very clear to you. So 1 Corinthians 12 deals with this, you know, aspect of that. And we look at verse 4, it says, now that the gift of the same Spirit, because of administrations, that's talking about the ministry gifts, but the same Lord. The gift of operations, there is the same God that worketh all in all. So it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. But the one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. To another, so sorry, by the same Spirit. To another, verse 9, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these worketh the one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So that takes out individual possession of gifts. That shows you that the gifts really are a diversity. Diversity, that is, we are referring to diversity of the things of the Spirit. When we actually talk about gifts of the Spirit, we are referring to things of the Spirit. That's why I said concerning spirituals. The word spirituals is where you get the word pneumaticos. It means things of that pertain to the Spirit. I think that again. Things of that pertains to the Spirit. Talking about elements of something. When you, for instance, have like a car, and you now begin to look at different parts, you know, of the car. So that is talking about the Holy Ghost now, the indwelling of the Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit, the things that are involved in that indwelling. I was saying this on Sunday, I don't think it was captured, that when you refer to the anointing does not refer, listen well to me, to the Holy Ghost. Now, the believer, just like Jesus, is anointed with the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is not the anointing. I taught you that some years back, 2006, that the indwelling is the anointing, not the Holy Ghost himself. The Holy Ghost is a person. Okay? The indwelling, when you hear the word the anointing refers to consecration, a separation. That indwelling of the Spirit is the anointing. Hallelujah. That indwelling of the Spirit is the anointing. And therefore, from the anointing, we get the gifts of the Spirit. We get the gifts of the Spirit because of the anointing. This is the indwelling of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is not the anointing. In a technical sense, it's not the anointing. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me. Do you understand that now? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, went about doing good and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Spirit of God is that separation, is that consecration that we have. That's why it is called the seal of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:13 and Ephesians 4 and then verse 30. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now that seal there is, you know, it's again the proof of the anointing, that the indwelling is not just the fact that the Holy Ghost is on you, the fact that the Holy Ghost dwells in you. That is the anointing. He dwells there. It's not just the fact that He's there, but the fact that He dwells there. Now, look at this carefully now. We're looking at the gifts, ministry gifts particularly, in Christian meetings, when we come together, or in meetings generally. Now, I'm going to take cognizance of the fact that you have been taught before now, so I will jump a couple of things. 1 Corinthians 14, which is usually the format, that's where Paul exhaustively taught by precept and by example the things of the Spirit. Now in 1 Corinthians 14, we have three individuals mentioned, and you have to take cognizance of that. You have Paul saying any man. So note that. Then he says, if there be one that comes into the midst, and he mentions either the unbeliever or the unlearned, that's good too. The third group in 1 Corinthians 14:29 is let the prophets. He repeats it again in verse 32, the prophets. Speak of the prophets of the prophets again. They repeat in verse 37, if any think himself to be a prophet. So he doesn't use an indefinite article here. Any, that's indefinite. Indefinite, that is any can be somebody in the congregation. Okay? So if one comes in and it specifies the one, the unbeliever or the unlearned believer. In this case, a carnal man, an untaught, an unlettered person in the things of the Spirit. So those three people are seen in meetings. Now, so happenings in meetings will be based, notice this, on the ratio. On the ratio of these three groups. For instance, look at how Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, that should be 24 and 25. He says, if we all come together and all speak with tongues. Now, that kind of meeting obviously will show any man. We all speak with tongues. He says, and there comes in, who is an unbeliever and unlearned, shall he not say you are mad? Because he doesn't understand what I say. He said, but if all prophesy, okay, and all prophesy, he says, and there comes in that unbeliever, the secrets of his heart are made manifest, he will worship, bow down and worship God and report that God is the way of the truth. And I say, so it clarifies that. So meetings will differ based on the ratio of that classification of people. If all we have in the meeting is just any man, we purpose any man, we're going to see who he's talking about now. We are likely going to have a meeting that will have ineffective edification. But when we have, and then we have,
maybe the unbeliever or the unbeliever comes in, there will be confusion. Some people will say, so who are mad? So everybody will just be enjoying themselves, edifying themselves, and, you know, blessing the Lord, and, you know, not necessarily reaching out to anybody. And in that context, can we say ministry is going on? Ministry is not going on. So there will be a difference when the prophets, in this context now we're talking about the ministry, they step into the affairs of things. Then there will be other ones. We're going to see that also tonight, I hope. So there will be a difference. So meetings will be, meetings will take the shape of the ministry gifts therein. Meetings will take the shape of the ministry gifts therein. I'll give you a classic example. Look at Acts 2. All the believers, they are speaking in tongues. One, Acts 2, 1 to 4. When they were all come together in one place, in one accord, there came from heaven a sound, and the mighty worship filled all the house where they were seated. And the Bible says that, you know, they appeared with red flames of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they are all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, observe that. By chapter 2, you know, people came around, and they kept saying, some say, well, are these folks, what's happening? These folks are not lettered. Some say, well, these folks are drunk. Some said all sort of things. Now, when that was done, the Bible says Peter, standing up with the 11, now addressed the people. Now, you see effectiveness with ministry gifts. Ministry gifts now go to the end of the tongues and the interpretation. And effectively, we saw how the 12, including Matthias now, ministered the power of God. Eventually, exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:25 happened. Some folks just said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The Bible says in their hand they were caught. Men and brethren, Acts 2, that should be verse 37, I think. He said, what shall we do? Yeah, Acts 2:37, I said, believe in the. So that's the end point of ministry. They reached out to them. So every meeting will take the shape. Notice what I said. I didn't say of the ministry gifts. I said the ministry gifts therein. Now, where you have a case of a ministry gift and the others are not, or they're not recognized, you are going to have a meeting that tends to be an outreach meeting to the unsaved. When you have a meeting that is dominated, that's the wrong word, but when you have a meeting that is focused on a ministry gift, you have a meeting that will resemble an outreach meeting to the unsaved. And you see, and there will be Christians in there, but they will not be able to get the benefit of the diversities in the meeting. We already know from 1 Corinthians 12 4, that there are diversities of gifts. We already know from 1 Corinthians 12 5 that there are diversities of ministry. We already know from 1 Corinthians 12 and 6 that there are diversities of operations. We know that clearly. So, when we now come to a meeting and we don't have diversities, it could just be clear that it is predicated upon the fact that ministry gifts are either not given in or they are not present. Alright, 1 Corinthians 14. So, now watch this very well. And I'll take it from 28 to 29. Let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the other judge. Notice when he speaks about the prophet, he doesn't mention any particular gift of the Spirit. Let the prophet speak. Of course, in speaking, we have 6 unique gifts of the Spirit. We have prophecy, we have tongues, we have interpretation, we have word of knowledge, we have word of wisdom, and we can look at technically the same space. But basically, we are looking at 6 things. So he says, let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, and all may learn, and all may be comforted. That's what he says to you, the prophets. Look at verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I'm going to take on that. The spirit of the prophets are subject. Look at the word, the spirits. The word spirit of the prophet, of course, supposed to be saying that the spirit of the prophet. He said the spirits. And that's the same word you find in 1 Corinthians 12:1 concerning spirituals. Is strongly used more in verse 12. You are zealous of spirituals. Spirituals, that's the same word spirits. You see the same word there. So he was actually referring to gifts of the spirit. So he's saying the gifts of the spirit of the prophet are subject. That is why it is a ministry gift. They are subject. They are within the control, as it were, the purview. That's not the Holy Ghost. The purview of the prophet. They are within his reach. It's something he can, you know, he can, as it were, administer. So let's see a couple of things. When we come together like that, look at what Paul speaks of. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands, albeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 3 says, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and comfort and exhortation. Verse 4 says, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would rather that you all speak in tongues, so I would that you all speak in tongues, but rather that you all prophesy, that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Obviously that means that tongues plus interpretation, you know, is prophecy. Look at 14. It says, 12, you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the expanding of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaks in tongues speak, pray that he may interpret. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. I pray with the spirit, I pray with the understanding, I sing with the spirit. So, we also have singing and praying in the spirit also involved in the meetings. Now, it goes into 16 also to give thanks in the spirit at 17. And then, so all these things are definitely speaking of the things of the spirit, you know, generally. Now, watch verse 26, 27. If any man speaks in tongues, let it be by two, or at the most by three. And by that course, let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. The word interpreter there can either refer to a person or the interpretation of the tongue itself. That's more compound definition. Now, why would he say, if there be no interpreter? Why? Why would he say that? So let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. That implies he cannot what? He cannot edify the church. He cannot minister the gifts of the Spirit for the benefit of others. Let me say that that's clear to you. He cannot. So he should not be giving audience. So therefore, I mean, to come out and give tongues really is not the law. It's to come out and what? Prophesy. And prophesy by tongues and what? Interpretation. That will be the such allowance, you know, for ministry. You see that it doesn't say that to the prophets. So let me speak two or three. He says, if anything be revealed, let the person be speak. So the prophet, in this case, the ministry gift, is the one that should or does know how to speak with tongues and interpret tongues in a local meeting, in a church meeting, in a meeting. That is the person. And I showed you last week that verse 2, he said, when you speak with tongues, you speak to God, and no man understands. Now that suffices when you are private, but when you are in church, this is only done by babies. Are we together here? When you are in church, somebody just comes and speaks with tongues publicly, it is a trait of a baby.
somebody who has not grown and developed himself in the things of the Spirit, appropriately. Now, let me show you something I showed them on Sunday. I'll just explain that a little bit more. I was teaching them on the demonstration of the Spirit. And I said, when you say the demonstration of the Spirit, we are referring to the utterance and the revelation gifts. You see that in the instance where a man Agabus, for instance, Acts 11, the Bible says Agabus, verse 27, in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and showed them by the Spirit that there should be great death throughout all the world, and came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So he showed them by the Spirit. Now, look up, let me explain that a bit, because I said it before in concerning scriptures. Let me just say it again, for the benefit of emphasis, I'm going to remember. Now, he said, Agabus did what? He showed them by the Spirit. Now, that is, when he says he showed them by the Spirit, that means the people that saw things, or the people he showed were the audience, correct? Correct? And he showed them by the Spirit. Now, did the people see a vision? Huh? No. So, when he said he showed them by the Spirit, he was referring to tongues. That is, via tongues, Agabus showed them that there will be a great death in all the land. For he that speaks in tongues in the Spirit, he does what? He speaks mysteries. Now, in the case of Agabus, he showed them by tongues and interpretation. So therefore, in Agabus' ministry here, we will see tongues, interpretation, prophecy definitely, and we'll see what else? The word of what? Wisdom. He showed them what will happen. There was a revelation. So, by showing them, they saw something. That is, by tongues and interpretation, people in the church at Antioch saw. So what you will have seen in your private life by a vision, I have seen there will be this in all the in all Rome or in all Roman Empire and with Claudius Caesar, you can see by utterance. Are you together here? You can see it by utterance. That is, by the utterance of Agabus, tongues and interpretation, it was seen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Alright. So in this case, it is a no man understands. They understood what he was saying. If he just came out and he spoke with tongues, they wouldn't understand. But he got up, he spoke with tongues, and he interpreted it. So they all saw it. They were able to perceive what he was doing. So the gifts of the Spirit are subject to the ministry gifts. There are things that it makes use of. There are things that he readily makes use of. He's not a guy who is carried away. He's a guy, he's a person, pardon me, who is able to properly administer and oversee the gifts of the Spirit. So we'll go over what I gave you, the audience. We have the audience, we involve the mature, the unlettered, the ministry gifts, the unbeliever. So put this down. Knowledge gives direction to the flow. To know. Number one, I have to know that there are gifts of the Spirit present in church. I have to know. Now, when we refer to the body of Christ, we're talking about two things. We're talking about all of us together here as the body of Christ, primarily. Then we are also referring to a corporate meeting like this. Now, as the body of Christ, in Christ Jesus, we have the gifts of the Spirit. The same way, when we come together as a corporal meeting, a corporate meeting like we are today, we have the gifts of the Spirit. Every time that we come together like this, we have the gifts of the Spirit. Knowledge of the gifts of the Spirit gives direction to the flow. Some folks don't know. Secondly now, notice this, the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit will now make ministry effective. Knowledge is the first thing. Now the exercise of the things of the Spirit will now make it effective. So he says to them, pursue it. Use the word desire. Desire spiritual things. So we know, we can all know. Okay? And that knowledge empowers us to give direction. We can know. We can know there's such a thing as tongues and interpretation. We can know there's such a thing as the word of knowing, word of wisdom. So the Corinthian church knew that. But now when it comes to just knowledge, and that's what the ignorance of knowledge is just not knowing. Now the exercise, the desire, now makes ministry effective. It's obvious that for the Corinthian church, for all we can gather in 1 Corinthians 14, if there was an area they never needed to desire, it was speaking in tongues. But you see, it affected the kinds of meetings they were having. Because you are not supposed to desire tongues. You are supposed to desire things of that pertain to the Spirit. So that affected the kinds of meetings they were having. Now, they knew about the interpretation of tongues, Paul taught them, 1 Corinthians 1:7. They knew about revelation, they knew all these gifts, they knew the nine gifts of the Spirit, they knew it. So, sometimes we know a lot not to practice them. We know enough. We can define the word of knowledge. We can say that is the word of knowledge. And that is the word of wisdom. There was one lady like that. We were chatting on Facebook. So she asked for a definition of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. So I taught her. And I said, this is it. Because she was going to write an exam on it. She eventually became the best student. And I said, you know something? It won't be clear until I show you by precept. So we began. So I said, let's speak with tongues. We're chatting. So I spoke with tongues. I gave interpretation. And I spoke a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. I now took that word of knowledge, which she confirmed. I now explained why it is a word of knowledge. And why this is a word of wisdom. I said, you know something? This school will not end until I know you know what I'm talking about. She said, eh. I said, yes. So, over to you. So what should I do, sir? I said, over to you now. Because you need, if you don't desire, there will be a problem. So it leads us to a meeting for the lost. It now becomes a meeting for the unsaved. You should stagger, stutter, and bow at the power of God. They are not participants. They are partakers of the Holy Ghost, of the heavenly gift. And eventually they will still resist the Spirit of grace. So this country, I said, it's not about to you. And he said, ah, sir, I'm not like you. Can you imagine? You know, you are already deep in these things. How bad can a student be? If I have taught you something, I said you understood. And I said, okay, this is how we are going to do it. I now step back. Imagine, I taught you how to, maybe how to drive. You say, wow, you are a good teacher. In fact, I said, you are going to be here. He says, you are an expert. You have taught me, I believe it. You know, it's by precept and by example. So let's look at it like this. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, it is not enough to know. There must be desire to practice. That's what actually makes you effective. Are we still together? Alright? Do you know
But I was looking at Agabus. You know, Agabus came from Jerusalem, and we know when he did. He came from, by the time you read Acts 11 very well, you notice that Agabus was one of the saints of God that left at the persecution and the murder, as it were, of Stephen. You know, it's possible Agabus was in Acts 2. So in Acts 2, he was in Acts 2. Maybe he wasn't in the first 120. Maybe he was in the other 3,000. Obviously, there was another 5,000. You know, there was another crowd that guy in Acts 4, and they prayed and they were full of the Holy Ghost. You know? And then we see again that, you know, by that Acts 8, he now went ahead to preach the word. He must have been in that group. Because when it comes to the church, people are called prophets and, you know, so and so, by reason of time. It doesn't happen in a day. So he must have been around for a while. And you see, it shows you that when it comes to the things of the Spirit, it could take a while, but in consistency. You see Philip also. Philip obviously was in one of these meetings. By Acts 6, they were able to pick him out and say, this is a guy who is full of the word and full of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 6, so they picked him out. By Acts 8, so he must have been a guy who was consistent in the flow of the things of the Spirit. By that, because Acts 8, it was not coincidental that he went to Samaria and he preached Christ. And then the miraculous follow suit. It wasn't coincidental. By Acts 21, you will see the same fellow called Philip the Evangelist. Same guy. Philip. Now known in the church. So, Agabus did not happen. It didn't just happen. There must have been a consistent practice along the line. Why have I said that? You see, there's something about being in meetings all the time. Now, we're having a meeting coming up in the next couple of weeks. Some of you can be very careless. Now, years ago, when I was pastoring a church like that, I taught them something. I don't know whether I've taught you here before. I think I must have. Maybe you forget. Sometimes in meetings like camp meeting, you know, believers convention, and this is also to pastors and all that, you know, pastors and leaders. Maybe I'm just going to come upon pastors tonight. I think I have the flu to come upon pastors tonight. And you know, you have the thing of, you will not enter the meeting as a pastor, like an MOG. Who brought people to the meeting? You are losing something key. You brought people to the meeting. You are sitting in front. Or you are an usher. You now wear your ushering jacket. You are in the tape stand. I used to teach people something fundamental. Particularly those who handle tapes, microphone, security. Say, do something. During the meetings, keep praying in tongues. Because you discover that, listen to this now, when you are handling those things, you get more touchy. Because you are handling natural things, you get more touchy, you get more safety to, you should put the microphone there, you just get in the flesh, and you will not be able to function. Do something. Look at that Numbers 11. Those two folks that were not in the tabernacle. Do you know something? The Holy Ghost still came on them. You can be intelligent. When I go for a meeting, I don't go like an MOG. It is the beginning of the end. You come in there and just remember yourself. You say, I'm one like that corner. Years ago, if I came to this meeting, I wouldn't need worship, of course. You never used to. I'm just finally at their corner. When I come to the meeting, do I'm giving the microphone, but I'll just sit down. I'll just take all the notes. I'll just pray in tongues. I'll just participate effectively in the meetings. I'll not come and think, people are from Epe, what are we doing tonight? And you just get into all those things. Because when it comes to the meeting, knowledge and desire dictate the flow. What is occupying your mind at that point is how much more of the flow you participate in. Praise God. Are we together?
You just say, I'm an usher, I'm supposed to handle food. I mean, those funny things. Funny things.
We just get busy, you know, and just lose out. So, the flow of the Spirit will be dictated by knowledge, but the effective ministry will be dictated by practice. Agabus and Philip obviously show people who had a strong desire for the things of God. Strong desire can be, strong desire of the things of God can be killed by the knowledge of the things of God. I'll tell you what I mean. Some of you, before you learn so much about the gifts of the Spirit that you think you know, when they say Holy Ghost, you'll be like, let us pray. You know what let us pray is? Let us pray. When you say power of God, he will be like this. But then, why you are now taught, you are now told, you know, charisma, charismata, doria, dorema, and you now have this thing about, this is our realm. But watch your life. Have you actually been more effective? I don't think so. To whom much is given, much is required. Imagine if I give Pastor now, he's an engineer, I now give him six times six. And he says, and then he passes it, he gives me the answer. And then I call Craig. Six times six. And then Craig says, Daddy, you give me 1 week. And he comes back and gives me the answer. I say, look at you. Pastor Lang got the answer in 2 minutes. No. So when much is given, much is required of. Because of the level of insight you assume to have, you should have done better than that. She should have almost prophesied. Unity today. So people have a ready interpretation. It shows you are not practicing the things of the Spirit. Some of you still prophesy and you use 30 seconds. Why? Some of you still talk and you prophesy, it doesn't affect the church. Just don't defy anybody. Forget all the grammar you spoke. It just shows that. Really. And there will be somebody in the community who just feels cool and look at you, and they will just say something. And it will bless lives. It's a proof of dormancy in the things of the Spirit. Are we together tonight? You just have. In 20 seconds. So you see, by the time you say, and you say, end up with thank you, Jesus. Are you edifying him? You say, end up with amen. What's that? There's no reason why you prophesy and say, Father, Lord Jesus. That again needs interpretation. So when you look at yourself, look at the kind of insight you have. You should do better. Praise God. That's not even what I'm going to talk about. I just went there. We'll look at that next week. So, notice this also. Acts 21. In the house of Philip, things now became commonplace. Acts 21. Now, when we had discovered the three Cyrus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. And there the ship was to unload our burden. And 5 disciples we tarried there 7 days. We said to Paul, through the Spirit, that it should not go up to Jerusalem. Do you know why they use the word disciples a lot in Acts of the Apostles? I'll tell you what it means. It's not all these, you know, today we use loosely, my disciple. Actually, when you use the word disciple, it connotes something. Somebody who is learning or has learned doctrine. You know, there's a way you come to a place and you see the conduct of someone, a disciple. You will see it in his attitude. When you come to this community and you see somebody, we say, I will sing the song like, we give glory to the Lord, he reigns. Now, when you go to another place, the poor disciple there is, who
begin to lay to the Lord in you.
Do you understand? But when you come to, when he says Corinthians, he says, we give glory to the Lord, he reigns. So when you start to shape their booty, give glory to the Lord. You know this is not a disciple. He's a church member, but he's not a disciple. A disciple is somebody who is learning or has learned doctrine. It shows in his lifestyle. A disciple, you have his phone, go up in the service. A disciple is somebody, for instance, who is taking notes now. Because that is what he is taught here. Praise God. So they meet certain disciples who, through the Spirit, will observe something. If you read Acts 2, certain people were speaking. In Acts 11, Agabus. Now, he is not saying disciple. So it's a function of learning and putting it to practice. Are we together tonight? Learning and putting it to practice. They looked at Paul and through the Spirit, that's what? Tongues and interpretation. So folks like that, when they're in their private life and they have some folks somewhere, somebody who just got born again down the road. And they are telling him, tongues is where the guy got talking in tongues. When you now gather the guy together, they now use him as scapegoats or guinea pig. Man, the harder, huh? And I see you. I just see you progress. No way. I just see that. Don't be afraid. Sorry, afraid. The Lord is in you and it's in you. And it's for you and it's through you. He remembers something a line pastor had in his interpretation. And thus you will step forth. And thus you will go forth. He uses that. Do you know something? You are nothing yet. It's when you come before Paul and you see the Spirit. Hallelujah. Then you can see, you can edify the church. Are we together here? Then you are a good student. You have learned. Imagine, somebody teaches you how to solve an equation and you say you have known it and it's there and you cannot solve it again. But he taught you. What will be wrong in putting to practice what someone has taught you in his presence? It shows that you lack practice. Amen? Are we together here? Alright. So, he says certain disciples. Just disciples. Again, later on, you will now find damsels. Philip's daughters. In verse 8 and 9. Who now prophesied. Do you know the interesting thing about this? That means these damsels spoke with tongues and they interpreted. They spoke with tongues and interpreted to Paul. How much could you say you have developed to interpret? And I love that they were his daughters. That means they were not people given to familiarity. So for folks, the closer you get to a man of God, as it were, your pastor, the more loose you are and you just don't learn anything again. They were his daughters, and they yet functioned in the things of the Spirit. They did. They yet prophesied, and they were his daughters. The daughters of Philip. We see all that, and hopefully we can. So, now, alright, so, you see, that's a function of consistent practice. Do you know that? When it comes to the things of the Spirit, sorry, my observation may be wrong. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, I have discovered this. Seriously. Women have a limit. They just have a limit. Particularly because this dispensation, they have been conscripted and consigned to the choir robes. You see a woman, you see a woman, and they see, every time they want to prophesy, they'll be singing. So they sing. And even in their utterances, by the time they're interpreting, they are giving thanks. So something about singing, and thanking God, and thanking God. But she always be a woman even in the Spirit. Can't you be a man in Christ? Praise God. Can't you show us something by the Spirit? Can't we quote you and say, my God,
Sister Jumoke said it. It came to pass. Sister Yomi said it. And that fellow, and that fellow, and that fellow were edified. Was it me? And the Lord is good. Amen. Sorry. That's why you see it's very easy to have inserted 1 Corinthians 14, 30, 36 now, you know, that they should keep quiet. Very easy to have inserted it. Praise God. Come, I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you. Praise God. What this? We make church happen as we develop more ministry gifts. Listen to this. When we develop more ministry gifts, there is more boldness about the things of God. There is more boldness about the things of God. When we develop ministry gifts. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Show you something there. Is the old English used here. Paul was making a distinction between the old covenant. Alright, the old covenant, people knew in part, they prophesied in part, but now there's no knowing in part, prophesying in part, because the perfect has come. That which you don't add to the fullness of God, you know, has come. So anyway, you know, when you get to heaven, you prophesy in full. That's not, so today we desire prophecy. Okay? You are involved. Amen. Say, I'm involved. Your desire is involved. So look at this. 1 Corinthians 14. 14. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. That is, you are involved. My spirit prays. My understanding is unfruitful. My spirit. If I sing in tongues, I bless with the spirit. Verse 16. My spirit. So, you are involved. So, it's desire, sorry, knowledge first, and then desire. Okay? Now, let's go back to the other things I explained earlier. We have in every meeting, as an early man, and then the prophet, or like verse 37 says, 1 Corinthians 14, them that are spiritual. So, orderliness will come by the gifts, ministry gifts, that are in the assembly, in this time, the pastor. Okay? So let's, you know, juggle a couple of things. 1 Corinthians 14. He that prophesies, verse 3, says, speaks unto men to edification and comfort and edification. And people have, you know, said that prophecy does three things. Of course, we teach that in baby class. We say it edifies. We say it comforts. Then it exhorts. Of course, that's baby class. By the time in Bible study, you read the whole material. Look at the emphasis. Just like when we spoke about being born of water and of spirit, you just need to do is to look at the emphasis. Jesus spoke about being born again in verse 3, John 3, John 5, water and the spirit. From John 6 down to John 8, he said being born of what? The spirit. Born of the spirit. So the emphasis is really being born of the spirit. Water may just be in that place an explanatory terminology to explain being born of the spirit. Now the same thing in 1 Corinthians 14, when you read, you know, the entire material, you discover in verse 3, in verse 4, in verse 5, verse 12, verse 16, verse 17, verse 26. You discover, then verse 26, you discover that he uses the word edify. Because that's exactly what prophecy does. The edification is now explained as comfort and exhortation. Interestingly, the word comfort and exhortation come from the same word, parakaleo, parakrisis. Now, basically, what Paul used those two words for, they are the same thing. It's just the emphasis. In chapter 14, verse 31, you may all prophesy one by one and all may learn and be encouraged. One means to be encouraged, Okay? The other is to be helped. They actually mean the same thing. One is by instruction, exhortation, to instruct. The other may not involve instruction, but they achieve the same thing. Paraklesis and parakelio is the same thing. Comfort and exhort, basically the same thing. So, the edification should instruct and comfort, help the believer. So you can say, we comfort by exhortation. That would be a proper way of reading that place, because the basic thing is to edify, to build up that person. That happens by comfort, and because by the time, the exhortation and the comfort is edification. Let me see how they get that clearly. Is that clear to you? The comfort and exhortation is edification. The edification involves comfort and exhortation. Hallelujah. So Ephesians 4:11 says, he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So when somebody comes to church and speaks in tongues alone before the church, he is not performing ministry. The ministry gifts will stand and they will build up people. They will bring things to our understanding. They will minister the gifts of the Spirit to our understanding. That's the function of ministry gifts. We close like this. Look at verse 26, 1 Corinthians 14. I'm just watching, you know, those cover time. As you know, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a sign, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done decently and in order. These are the various ways prophecy can come forth. Tongues, interpretation, look at that. Exhortation, doctrine. The word doctrine there is the word lesson. That's where you get the word instruction. To instruct. And that obviously speaks of the word of wisdom. To instruct, revelation and interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. That is, the other person is edified, is brought up, is encouraged. So basically, just close like this. What can edify in a church meeting is in verse 26. Tongues, then interpretation, revelation, and instruction or a psalm. Those are the things that can edify. Do you know that, interestingly, it never uses the power gifts to edify. The power gifts do not edify Christians. Let me see and follow me here. The power gifts don't edify. They are not to build up. They don't build up. It's the utterance and the revelation gifts that have instructions, because edification must come by the way of learning something, hearing something, knowing something. It's not by feeling. The power of God comes, you are healed, and so on and so forth. No. So when we come together like that, we just close. The key issues, key things, are the revelation and the utterance gifts. The utterance gifts primarily, and then the revelation gifts. So don't forget, we have any man. So ask yourself, am I any man? Any man is just somebody who gets up and does not edify, speaks with tongues, edifies himself, well, right, gives thanks properly and all that, but it doesn't edify the church. So that any man has to go. It says in understanding, it says be ye men. That means all that is deterring this, any man is for him or her to grow in the things of the Spirit. So when we come together like this, atmospheres are determined. What did I say? Atmospheres are determined. They are determined. There are things that determine atmospheres. The knowledge of the congregation, then the desires, mindset. We have spoken also about the ministry gifts that are present therein. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The ministry gifts that are present therein determine the atmosphere that we eventually get. If for instance, we don't have
the ministry gives a maturity, we'll get the atmosphere where men will ask more questions than have answers. A lot of times we think that all our meetings are people get healed, and great meetings, people get healed, beautiful, and then the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf ears unstopped. That doesn't edify the church. Praise the Lord. That can be received by the unbeliever quite alright, because we are going to see also we have diversity of gifts, you know, the same spirit in that meeting. But for the man born again, that's not what edifies him. What will bring him up will come by the way of insights and instructions. That's what will build the man who is born again. So you see, although he's just come for a meeting, you just see the God of God's power, you know, in terms of, you know, people fall under the power, we have people get healed, we have, you know, things happen like that. And we haven't gotten there. I remember I learned this from Kenneth Hagin years back, and I didn't know what he meant until much later that, you know, normally you just minister to people and all that. So he said, well, let's have people edified first. Let's get people healed first. Sorry, that's not the word you use. Healed. So when you handle the sick and you get there and all that, then now come back and then you do other things. So I wondered, why was it like that? It's clear that when it comes to diversity of things in a meeting, it is the man there that determines the atmosphere. Nothing else. Praise God. Now let me ask this in close. If you have a meeting like this and we have unbelievers, we have the sick, who do we attend to first? Eh? It's an assignment, I think. Don't use your tiny place. Look at the Bible. Who do we attend to first? Do we attend to the sick first? Those who have physical ailments, who have physical needs. Or do we attend to those who have spiritual needs first? Even the man who is born again, who needs to be edified. Look at that. What do we attend to first? Because that's important. They say, is that his spirit is stop that. The giving of the spirit is clear in scriptures only, so it's a matter of knowing what it is. Praise God. So we determine what happens in the meeting. So we can say like, okay, let's reach out. We can say let's reach out like this. Let's reach out like that. Hallelujah. So atmospheres are what determined. They don't just happen. People determine. You all come together. Let all things be done. Hallelujah. So you all prophesy. So we can all determine it. We can all make it a rowdy meeting and nobody gets blessed. And we can choose to have everybody get blessed. One of the things I desire in my life is to have everybody that attends the meeting where I minister to actually receive notification. Everybody. Right. There's a long way to do that, but it's not impossible. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads.